Put your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. I want to start reading in verse 25. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together, Lord. I just thank you for this conference. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you're touching our hearts. And Lord, I just ask you bless tonight, and you also be with Joey as he preaches his message, Lord, and just be with us the rest of the week. Help us to end, Lord, this meeting, Lord, with some new decisions and just rejoicing, Lord, that we can meet together and just hear these things again. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Acts 15, we'll start in verse 25. It says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." You know, incredible things are going on right here. And what came to my mind when I was reading this is how to be effective when we're evangelizing. How to be an effective church. How to be an effective witness. You know, the phrase that struck me here is you see Paul and you see Barnabas and you see these men who were beloved, it said, and they sent them to do this work, and it says that they got there in verse 35, and it says, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." It seems to me like they were in a good spot. People were actually wanting to listen to them, and they were teaching people. You know, it's a whole lot better, you know, coming or being in a place where there's actually people there, you know, and people that want to listen to you. You know, I mean, I truly like coming back here, you know, to preach, because I actually have sometimes, you know, a response whenever I speak something and you agree with me and you say amen, thinking, man, this is good, you know. I mean, when we're out preaching on the streets, or even in our churches, you know, sometimes the distraction is just crazy, right? I mean, we're at the park and you got the ice cream man and you got the gas man and you got the trash man and you got all these things, and then you got clowns, and then, I mean, you know, I mean, besides us, I guess, you got other folks just all over the place. Sometimes it's a big distraction. You know, and so you're there and you're trying to listen, you know, and all of a sudden your eyes kind of wander and you just miss the message. It's just hard to keep people's attention. But, you know, he was at a good spot right there, at a good place, and I think it would have been very comfortable for him to just stay there. Things were happening, you know. But you know what the phrase that got me is, he says in verse 36, "Let us go again." You know, let us go again. It's like they were always moving. They were always wanting to do more and more and more. He wasn't satisfied just in one spot.
Amen.
You know, and I think for us to be effective in evangelizing, I think, first of all, I think I see people here in this church and these workers, they had passion.
Amen.
You know, when we went a few years ago to the church up there in New York and helped them street preach, we went out and they gave us a bunch of tracks, and there in New York, it's crazy because you get people from all over the place. And so we're out there passing out tracks, and you know, you really have to figure people out wherever, because people change. They're just different in different areas. They're not all the same. So I'm there in New York, and I wasn't having very much success passing out tracks. They wouldn't take tracks from me. And then there was a brother there from New York, and he said, Hey, you know, you's doing it wrong. I don't know how he said it, but they talk kind of strange up there, you know? but he says, no, look, these are New Yorkers. You know, if you want them to have a track, you need to say, hey, did you get one of these? And then they go, no, because New Yorkers want everything. You know, you have to present it in a certain way that when if they don't have it in their hands, they want it in their hands because somebody else has it and they don't have it. I'm thinking, oh. Well, you know, that also works in Puebla. I like doing that too. I go over there and I say, I'm going to try it here. Hey, did you get one of these? No, I didn't get one of those. Give me one of those. It works. I'm thinking, man, this is good. But you know what? When we present a gospel track, when we present the gospel, we got to have a little bit of passion.
Amen.
We have to actually get out there. And I know sometimes it's hard. And I see this also in Stephen. I always got to try to remind him because I'm the same way. When I'm out there and I'm preaching or I'm out there giving the gospel and someone actually stops and listens to me, I have the tendency of looking somewhere else. You know, he stopped and listened to me, you know? And I see Stephen does that too when we go downtown. He's preaching, actually somebody stops and listens, and Stephen, because you're just nervous, you know? First of all, you're surprised they actually stopped and listened to you, right? But then you say, oh man, I got to really pay attention to what I'm saying now. And then you just kind of get distracted. So I tell him, Stephen, they're listening to you. You gotta preach to them, or otherwise they're going to feel like they're being ignored. And I mean, when I was down there, these guys took me down and said, man, just look, you got people there. Why are you walking away from them? I'm scared. They're actually listening to me.
Amen.
But you know, we see this. It's they have this passion about them. And I think it's something that we need to have.
Amen.
You know, if we read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
He says necessity.
Amen.
Look, it's not a suggestion.
Amen.
You know, God's not saying, you know what, I'm going to give you an option. No, you know what, it's necessity. I'm looking at a guy that says, you know what, I have to go out.
That's right.
I have to preach. This is what God wants me to do.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the men in our churches down there, I see they get a little bit scared because we tell them, you know what, if you're a man, you ought to get out there and preach.
Amen.
You know, you ought to start sharing in the meetings. We push them a little bit too much sometimes. And I see they get a little scared. But you know what? I think God wants us to go out and evangelize. God wants us to go out and do, you know, spread the gospel, but we got to do it in a way that the people, because they can perceive, you know, if someone out there trying to sell you something, you know, they knock on your door and they want to sell you a product and they say, well, you know, and they don't know what they're talking about. You're thinking, you know, seriously? I mean, why are you wasting my time? You know, I mean, and you ask them questions and they go, oh, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not even interested. But if they're really excited about what they have, it could be whatever. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah. I think that's what we need to do.
That's right. Amen.
You know, we need to be a little, it says over there in, in Colossians 3:23, it says, whatsoever ye do, Amen. Do it heartily,
Amen.
As to the Lord, and not unto men.
Amen.
Heartily, something that you do with enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, something that you do vigorously. You know, when I think of heartily, I think about when someone, you know, slaps down a porterhouse steak, you know, you really get into that thing hard. I mean, you want to watch me vigorously eat something? Put down a piece of steak, man. I'm going to vigorously attack that thing. Well, you know, I think that's how we need to present the gospel. We need to, you know what? This is something that you got to have. This is something that you need. This is something to change your whole life.
Amen.
And not doubting. And I'm telling you this, I haven't mastered this. Okay? Some days I go out and I'm just pumped. I'm on fire. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go out and sell this thing today. But then other days I'm like, oh, let's just get over with. I think we need to be careful. It's not something, when we go out and we present the gospel, it's also, we have to be careful not to do it to get a pat on the back.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Because we're talking about people's lives.
Right.
You know? If Brother Lindo would have started this thing just to get a pat on the back and say, look at how many people that you actually sent across the world. Well, then Brother Lindo would be a pretty sick man. You know? If that's what he wanted, just a pat on the back, no. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to please God.
Amen.
He wanted to do something wholeheartedly. He wanted to do something just vigorously to please God.
Amen.
And God has blessed.
Amen.
We need to be careful that this thing is not an option, it's a command.
Amen.
Out of necessity, he says, we've got to have a passion.
Yeah.
You know, and the opposite of not having a passion that I think a lot of us are you know, fight with is we're asleep.
All right.
You know, and I think when the Bible talks about us being asleep, I don't think it's talking about literally being, you know, asleep, right? He's saying, look, it's like that, man. When you're asleep, like, you know, nothing is, everything's oblivious, right?
Amen.
I mean, it's just, you're not paying attention to anything. I mean, sometimes you get startled out of sleep, right? And you know, you jump out. Karen laughs at me sometimes because when Karen hears a noise and I'm like zonked out, you know, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, I don't know why she does this, but sometimes when she gets really scared because she hears something outside, she'll like, you know, she'll like move me, you know, because I'm a heavy sleeper, you know? And so she goes, John. And when she does that, you know, it freaks me out. And so she gets a kick out of it because I kind of jump up and do like a karate stand because I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know what's going on, but I'm out of the bed real quick. What? And she said, no, I just heard a noise. Oh, what noise? It's probably me snoring. Come on, what are you talking about? But you know, when I think about people in the Bible that were sleeping, you know, talk about Jonah in the first chapter over there. You know, Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach, and he knew God was merciful. He knew God could save those people, and he didn't do it for whatever reason. Maybe he was a little bit prejudiced. You know, maybe he did some, you know, racial profiling. You know, maybe he said, you know what, those guys aren't good enough. Well, you know what? I think that is a bad attitude. You know, we need to be careful when he got into that ship and everything was going on around, it says that he just, you know, walked down there and he just fell asleep. He's trying to ignore everything. Well, you know, it's not up to us to decide who deserves salvation.
Amen.
You know, just think about yourself. If somebody actually thought that about you, you know what? He doesn't deserve it because of the way he looked.
Amen.
I know. You know what? When I look at myself in the mirror, I don't look at myself, you know, as like, you know, a person that's threatening. I think I'm not scared of me, you know. I look in the mirror thinking, man, you know, he looks like a pretty good guy, you know. But I know I scare people. You know, it's funny to me because like on Sundays after the meeting, sometimes we'll go, you know, downtown, you know, the girls want to walk around and to the hippie market and look at some crazy stuff, whatever. And so anyway, so once they get done, I say, well, I'm going to go back and pick up the car and I'll come back and pick you up. So it's like, you know, 6-7 blocks. Well, I have to walk down, you know, the block, the street that's less traveled. And so I'm walking, you know, I'm walking like this. And if there's a girl in front of me, you know, she's, you know, and then I see her cross the street, right? Or if I'm walking and she's walking the other way, she'll see me and she'll cross the street. I'm thinking, do I really look that bad, that threatening? But I know it happens. I know people, you know, they just, sometimes you judge people and you think, no, these guys are ugly or they're mean or they're, or, you know, whatever. Well, you know what? Maybe they are. But because they're wicked, it doesn't disqualify them from getting saved. It doesn't disqualify them from hearing the gospel. You know? We're not the judge. God says, with that passion I gave you, go out and tell them. And if they refuse what you are trying to tell them, well, then I'll deal with them. But I got to fight this too. You know, looking at people and judging them, saying, you know what, they don't deserve it. And I think about another person who we find, you know, sleeping over there in Mark 14, where Peter, you know, and James and John are there, and Jesus is praying. He's, you know, he's going. It's his hour of you know, the heaviest time where he's going to you know, offer him, you know, himself for us. And Jesus tells him, "Look, stay right here. Pray with me. I'm going to go off, and you stand." What happens? They're asleep. They chose comfort over an opportunity to help the Lord go through an incredible temptation.
Yeah, guilty, all right? Amen.
Man, what opportunities are you passing up?
Amen.
By not agreeing with the Holy Spirit and doing exactly what He wants you to do.
Amen.
Man, what an awesome opportunity. Yeah. You know? To be sent out, and I'm just talking about me, an awesome opportunity to be sent out from this church. You guys didn't know me from Adam. And I mean, it's not like, you know, I came in here with diplomas. You know? I mean, you know, oh, John, the Nobel Prize winner here. No! I mean, I'm nobody. You know, and yet, I'm here, I'm learning, man, I'm saying this, and all of a sudden, a mission conference comes along, and I think, you know what? I think God wants me to go. And they didn't put out the fire. You know, I was actually doing stuff here already. I was actually participating. I was actually involved in the church. And they allowed me to go. You know, granted, Brother Lindo did try real hard to put out that fire by scaring me half to death. You know, don't you sell anything, boy. We're not promising you a dime. You might starve over there. Oh, wait a minute. Lord, are you sure? You know, I think about also another guy that was sleeping in Judges in chapter 16 where it talks about Samson. You know, he said he was asleep there, and then all of a sudden he wakes up when the men come in after he had his hair cut off. And it's sad. It says in verse 20, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He jumped on his feet, and he just said, I'm just going to shake this feeling off, and I'm going to go out like I had before. Well, you know, that's what sin does to you. You know? You play, you know, with sin long enough and you think, nah, I can do this. It's not a problem. I'm dabbing in sin over here and nothing's happened to me. I'll just wake up tomorrow and I'll just shake it off and I'll continue. Man, you need to wake up.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes, most of the time, sin is going to take you farther than you want to go.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yep. You know, Bill gives an analogy, I guess you would call it, about sin, about a farmer planting a seed. You know, when a farmer plants a seed, you know, he expects to get a whole bunch in return. Right? And that makes a lot of sense. You don't plant one seed to get one seed. Well, you know, sin is the same exact thing. You're sowing sin in your life, and you're going to reap a whole bunch more.
That's
and more than you want.
Mercy, Lord. Amen. That's right. Amen.
That'll put out the passion really quick.
Yes, sir.
But you know, another thing I thought of is we need to have our priorities right. You know? And I think these guys had their priorities right. I mean, it says over there in 28, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. You know, so they go out. They go on and they deliver an epistle. In verse 31, they rejoiced when they heard the epistle. Man, I mean, this was a happening place. This is a great place to be. But you know what? They had their priorities right. They suffered. It says over there, they men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says over there in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
We need to get our priorities
Amen.
Straight.
Amen.
You know? You're here, you're working, you're sending, you're giving, you're witnessing. Why do we do all this? For our Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Another thing I thought is our presentation. You know, if we want to be effective, if we want to evangelize correctly, we need to be passionate about it. And I think we need to maintain it, because it's easy to get excited at the beginning.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
I mean, when I went down to Mexico, I was excited. You know, I mean, it was that new adventure, man. You know, it was like everything that we owned was in our car. You know, wow, that's cool, you know? And the other stuff we had, well, you know, Adrian and Brent and all them took it up for us, and that was a whole other story. We get there and open it up, and they just dumped it in there. I thought they'd at least hang some pictures. And no, they just dump everything in there. But we're going down the road, man. It's just, oh, wow, this is just great. And, you know, you get there, and man, yeah, this is lit. I mean, we're going to turn this place upside down. It don't always work out that way. I'm really happy everything I saw in those 3 years in Irapuato, because I think that really helped me a whole bunch, because we did see quite a bit of stuff there. I did experience some good things, good debates, good talks, you know, down there. I mean, it was always popping. It was really fun. But you know, sometimes that just fades away. You know, that adventure just kind of gets old, so to speak. So we got to just maintain that passion. Maintain that zeal. And that goes for all of us. That's why you should be thankful for conferences.
Yes, yes.
But we need to have the right presentation. You know, over there in Acts 15:11, it says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." 1 Corinthians 2:2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's all they preached. They were saved and they said, you know what? We believe that these people are going to get saved just like we got saved.
Amen.
Nothing different. We heard the gospel. We heard salvation in Christ. We got saved. That's exactly how we're going to save them.
Right.
And that's exactly what we do. You know, I think if we're diligent in maintaining, and it's maintaining, it's keeping the passion. We have to keep it going. I think if we just keep focused in what we're supposed to be doing, what is our main goal as a church, as a body of believers, as kings and priests, is to preach the gospel. If we just keep focused on that and we have the right presentation, I think we'll have fruit. I think we'll have success. I think we'll be effective. It says over there in chapter 16, in verse 5, it says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." What did they do? They didn't have internet, they didn't have seminaries, they didn't have all this stuff, which in it, all this stuff is probably good. All right? All I'm saying is they had the Word of God. They had passion. They had their priorities correct.
Amen.
They had exactly what you and I have.
Amen.
They preached the same gospel. And you know, and God blessed that.
Yes.
But we need to keep that mentality, I think, that the apostles and these preachers had. And it's just in verse 36. Let us go again. And that's how we have to think. Tomorrow, we're going to go do it again.
Amen.
Next year, we're going to go do it again.
Amen.
If we want to be successful, if we want to have an effective ministry, I think we need to keep these three things in mind. Amen?
Amen.